Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. Appreciate that, Dan. Appreciate everyone that's going to come out. We always have a good time, believe it or not, cleaning the church. So praise God for that. So I wanted to announce that tomorrow night, Pam's been telling me that she's very excited about her future studies. Now, you were going to talk about the Kings, but I know you've switched over and you've got some other, you're going to be talking about prayer, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, so we've got some new material on prayer that's going to be amazing. And as, you know, we are a house of prayer. I noticed in the notes for today that Pam had mentioned in her part that she was teaching at the Olive Garden. And I want to know about how we sign up for the Olive Garden classes.
Okay, well, that it is what it is. Everywhere you go. Actually, I'm starting tomorrow night a study on the power of prayer. It's going to be about an 8-week study before I go into the Kings. But he was right. God said that this house should be called a house of prayer. And so I'm going to be talking about how to pray, and I'm going to talk about how not to pray. And does God always answer prayers? Whose prayer gets answered? And does God favor particular people's prayers, the response above others? And the answer is actually yes, but you probably don't know why. So there's a right way and a wrong way to pray, and some things we can pray for and some things we should not pray for. You don't pray that your neighbor gets hurt or your enemies fall in a ditch. There's a song about that. But so I think it's going to be powerful. But what's really going to be powerful is at the end of tomorrow night, and I only teach for about 20 minutes, keep you coming back for the next week. But at the end of tomorrow night, I'm going to share two short video clips, assuming we can get them, and I think Sandra's working on it. They are two clips on the healing, and they are so, so powerful that you need to hear these testimonies of real people. But today we're going to talk about heaven, our future home. And, you know, this is something that's dear to my heart. By the way, you can pray for our mom. Our mom was in the hospital this week. She's 97. And besides that, Sandy and I had just walked her through the door, and she immediately fell and injured herself. So we would appreciate your prayers. But in talking about that in our topic on heaven today, something I'll share is, you know, that God had told me is that you're walking your mom to the gate. You're on a journey, and there's going to come a time when you can't go any further, and she's going to enter in. But when a person passes away, Ken, I see this in the Bible, like Jacob with his sons, they leave instructions, final instructions for people. I find that very interesting, by the way, that Jacob did that and that Jesus did that. He left us with a great commission. This is what you're supposed to do. Ironically, my mother last night, I was telling Ken, my brother, my mother said last night, she said, I'm going home very soon and I want to tell you some things. And she started giving me basically that, instructions and telling me, I want you to take care of your brother, I want you to take care of your sisters, and I want you to take care of Barb. She was giving me instructions. And, you know, so Barb, if you need anything, I'm here. but that's what people do when they're preparing. They're wanting to say last things. So today we're just going to talk a little bit about heaven. And another name for heaven is home. We'll never feel fully home until we get to heaven. So, Ken, do you want to start this and start sharing?
Such a great topic, isn't it, to talk about our future home and heaven. The thing that impressed me most about my parents is my father, while he was alive, he absolutely had no fear. And I like to tell the story of mom telling me to go tell dad that he was going to have a heart attack if he was working so hard. And he said, go tell your mother I'm ready. You know, it was his joke, but he was saying I'm ready for heaven. And that's when I talked to my mom this week. She's talking a lot about heaven, but the thing that the thing that really impresses me is that there's no fear in her voice. There's no fear about, I'm afraid to die, which, you know, hey, all of us, I understand that. But, oh, death, where is thy sting? So that's when you really have a revelation of who you are, who God is, and a revelation of the cross and the love of God and what the cross means and what the resurrection means and what Jesus said, just the plain language that he said, that he described heaven and he described hell, and how to get there is pretty easy. The formula is pretty easy, what we have to do. We need that revelation. We need to talk about heaven. We need to think about heaven. We need to think about even our death, which is to say we need to prepare for it. We need to be prepared already for it. When I was in the military, our official paperwork always had a block for your permanent address, and I like that. No matter where the military sent you, you always have a permanent address. No matter where God sends you on this planet, you have a permanent address in heaven. So what is heaven like? Well, first of all, you want to go to the experts, right? Pam's always telling me about people asking her about medical advice, like, what would you do? And we always laugh about that, you know, because of her medical training. Yeah, so I always like to go where the experts are. So if I have a question about my car, you know, I'm going to ask Mark. I'm going to ask Tony. Or I'm going to ask Dan. Now, Frida, I love you, but I'm not coming to you to ask about my carburetor. I'm looking for your husband. He's the one that knows. So when it comes to stories about heaven and hell, and even stories about religion, where are you going to go for your answers? You're going to go to the internet. You know, there's this lady that... No. Go to the Word of God. So, you know, the fact that you can go to a bookstore and see thousands of books about afterlife experiences and people that have guided tours of heaven with the angels and stuff like that. So there is a lot of misinformation. Certainly there's a lot of misinformation about hell and the power of Satan. Because according to the Word of God, Satan's been paralyzed. He's lost his power. And if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But according to Hollywood, Satan is all powerful and you got to have priest and holy water, and it's basically the priests usually lose out, you know, because Satan is so strong. But the truth is, he's been paralyzed by Jesus. The cross was his defeat. And I love to say, who's in charge of hell? The answer is Jesus Christ. Satan isn't in charge of anything. The prisoners aren't in charge, right? You don't say, who's in charge of the prison? Well, that, you know, it's not the prisoner, it's the warden of the prison that's in charge, and Jesus is in charge. So when we know the truth about heaven and our own death and even the truth about hell, it gives us, we're on track. You know, there's a lot of things you're off track on that I'm off track on. You just have to be. There's lots of things that you believe that you're going to get to heaven and go, oops. You know, I was totally wrong on that. You know, same thing for me. Things that I'm just sure of, God's going to go, yeah, you were so wrong on that. But they have to be. Listen to four preachers on the book of Revelation. Three of them are wrong, right? They all tell you they know exactly what's going on. I'm the only one to go, I'm a little confused on this 1,000 years. I'll get to heaven, I'll explain it to you then. But the things that are in the Word are clear. So don't be confused about the things that are not clear. It's fine. I'm not worried that I don't understand advanced calculus. I just go with what I do know, all right? The stuff I do know is firm. And the stuff I know about how to get to heaven is firm. It's on a firm foundation. The stuff about the reality of heaven, the reality of hell. And so I want to remind all of us how short life is. If I told you that this coming Tuesday, let's meet at 3 o'clock. On the one hand, you don't have to worry about that today. You don't even got to worry about that tomorrow. That is far in the future. That's Tuesday at 3. But on the other hand, isn't Tuesday at 3 coming up really fast? And I'm here to tell you that I don't care if you live 10 years from today, that 10 years is going to fly by. And if you said, well, if I knew I had another 20 years, that's a lot of time. No, it's not. 20 more birthdays, 20 more Christmases. That'll go by in a heartbeat. So heaven is our best hope. It is our only hope. Keep your eye on the prize. It's so easy to be distracted and look at things on this earth, to have your goals the things of this earth, instead of set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. For your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Set your affection, set your heart on things above. All right, a couple more things, and then I'm going to give this to Pam. When my father was my baseball coach, he just kept, you know, he didn't know how to coach me because, you know, I couldn't hit. But he would just kept telling me, he kept saying, keep your eye on the ball. And I was like, I am. Keep my eye on the ball. I just can't hit the ball. What I liked about that is I told you all before that he'd take me to the batting cages. How many strikes until you're out? Frida says 3. Not when me and Dad played. He just kept feeding those quarters. Here's 9 more balls. Try to hit one of them. Here's another quarter. Here's 9 more. That's the way it is with God. You're not out until you've died. Anyone can get saved at any point. We're not out. We continually have opportunity after opportunity. So here's 2 more things, and I am handing it to Pam. This is from the Word of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Y'all need to believe that. You need to live that. Jesus said, and I go to prepare a place for you. I will surely, you can count on it. That's what he's meaning. I will surely come again and receive you. Put your name in there. Put your name in there. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, notice he snuck the word I am in there. I always notice that. That where I am, you may be also. So, Pam, my definition of heaven is it's the dwelling place of God.
That's a pretty good definition of heaven. It's his dwelling place, and it's going to be ours. And for the believer, death should not be anything fearful at all. I cannot count how many people I've been with. It's countless when they took their final breath, and mostly all believers that I was completely assured of, and it was one of the most peaceful experiences ever. So many times I actually had went to see a man in the afternoon who had cancer, and they had given him actually another year to live, and I felt compelled to go see him, so I drove to see him, and that afternoon we had a beautiful conversation. He did talk about heaven. He said, I know I have some time here, and later that afternoon I had called him and I said, I'm going to bring you some things tomorrow morning. And then in the morning, I drove up to the church here and I met one of the brothers in church for the breakfast. And he asked where I was going. And I said, I'm going to see this gentleman. And he said, probably not. He said, we just heard he passed away. Something significant that I remember about that afternoon was he just glowed. He just had a special glow about him. He was at peace and at rest. But I want to tell you something, and I think we put it on. I had Sandra put it on the screen. Do not get your belief or your theology from Hollywood about exorcism or anything else. That's very dangerous. And don't get it from other people, hearsay. You know, I can tell you my experience, but what if I'm unreliable? What if I'm a dishonest person? It's at best, it's hearsay, and at worst, it's false information. And so many, now I'm going to give you some proof of that. How many of you remember there was a young man named Alex Malarkey, which the last name has been greatly abused and made fun of because he wrote a book, The Boy That Came Back from Heaven, and later as he aged and became a Christian, he recanted that and said that was all false information. You know, that's what happens in life. They're not even completely sure that the Colton Burpo story is 100% reliable, but I know something that is 100% reliable, and that's God's Word. I can depend and count on God's Word, and I study God's Word all the time, and I don't want to get my theology from someone else or someone what they think, because really, ultimately, what I think does not matter. What God's Word says does matter. Now, I do love to hear people's experiences and things, but I will tell you that so many people are afraid of death. I do find that, and that comes without knowing and understanding, having a good handle on what death and dying are about and theology about the future is about. And really, if you tell me that you're afraid of roller coasters, if you tell me you're afraid of flying on an airplane, you're afraid of death. You're not afraid of the roller coaster. They're a whole bunch of fun. What you're afraid of is that you could fall out of the roller coaster. Who knows? It could stop. You could get stranded at the top. You could die. Same thing with jet skiing. You know, I used that example before with our sister, Laurie. Ken and I, we were on two different jet skis, and I was begging her to get on, and she was like, I can't. I might drown. This might happen. That might happen. And, you know, it's too fast, and I just begged her, and finally I told her I'm going to go really, really slow. Just get on. Of course, she was on 5 seconds, and slow was not the operable word. I just gunned it. Because, no, you're going to enjoy this. You're not going to die, and you are going to enjoy this. And you know what? I think we would enjoy life a lot more. We would enjoy the ride, the ups and downs of the roller coaster, and we would be able to relax more if we did not have that fear of death. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. When you're on the roller coaster, when I'm on the roller coaster and it starts really getting cranked up, I'm just like, God be with me. And then I can just hold my hands up and I can enjoy the ride. I recently seen a picture of, I think it was Sandra and them at Disney, and they had their hands in the air and all. That's how to ride the ride. It's not like this, like, oh, God, help me, Ken, hold me, help. You know, because Jesus is holding us. So death is what people are afraid of, and it's so much. I know that many of you know the story of Howard Hughes. You know, wealthy man, just had all kinds of everything at his disposal, but he died a death of a recluse. He was afraid of germs. He was germophobic. He wore gloves in his bed, and he did not live his best life at all, and he certainly didn't. And I don't even like that term, living my best life. How about a blessed life? Because your best life may not be a blessed life. But here's the thing. You know, I find that we are so afraid of death a lot of times, and yet we're alive. Does that make a lot of sense, you know, for us to sit here and go, what about death? You're going to die one time. Don't let it rob you of all the days that you could be living life and living a blessed life. Don't let the enemy rob you. And let me tell you, give you a scripture about death that I just love to quote this. John 14, 1 and 2. Do not let your hearts be troubled, which means tormented. Don't be tortured about this. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus. For in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Do you know that this jumped out at me yesterday as I was studying? This is the only place that God ever says, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. Everything else is just, this is how it is, this is how it is, and this is like, if this wasn't true, I would never have said this. Because what a cruel joke. I understand why God said that, by the way. Because what a cruel joke that would be to tell somebody that there is something, that there's heaven, that there's a place for you when there was no place. How sad and how awful. I'm going to repeat to you something I said when I was teaching this years ago on a Monday night. In the year 120 AD, a Greek named Aristides wrote to a friend about Christians. And he said, the reason this new religion I find is so successful is that they say that if any one of these righteous Christians leaves the world, instead of sadness, they rejoice over the person. They thank God and they sing songs as they escort the body away, seeming like he's going from one place to another place. That's a good picture. Aristides got it right. And, you know, we need to understand that we all have this terminal disease. No one gets out of here alive. The disease is called mortality. And I want to give you just a couple statistics. 3 people die every second, 11,000 per hour. This is globally. And 150,000 globally a day enter into eternity. And I want to tell you, people say, well, don't be afraid. Here's the deal. If we have Jesus in our heart, we do not need to fear death. If we don't have Jesus in our heart, we should be terrified, and we should be looking to receive Christ, because eternity is a long time, and if I die without Christ in my heart and in my life, everything I did on earth, do you realize, is for nothing? It meant Nothing. Every church service you attended to, you may have attended Bible classes all of your life and never really received Jesus or lived for Jesus. Guess what? It was all for nothing when eternity comes. I don't want it to be that way. I want to know that I am going to heaven. And I do know. People say, well, how do you know for sure? I know positively because the blood. And I don't worry, by the way. And here's something you need to understand. The blood of Jesus, when you receive Jesus, covers all your sins. Your past sins. Your sins you commit today. Your present sins right now. If you're sitting here with a bad attitude towards someone, you just want to shoot that person in the foot. That's covered by the blood. If your sins of the future, sins that you have not committed yet, because we all commit sins, and people say Jesus died to save you from sin, but that's a little bit incorrect because we're all sinners and going to continue most likely. He died to save us from the punishment of our sin. So the blood covers that, so you can be sure that you're going to heaven. He forgives. And there, heaven is my home. And I'm excited about that because guess what? My dad is there. And very, very soon, I'm going to have a mom there.
The Holy Spirit doesn't convict you that you're a sinner. The Holy Spirit convicts you that you're not a sinner. Right. So if you have a child, if your child, right, you got this little child and they're covered in mud, you clean them out. You clean them up because you know that underneath who they really are. Same thing with sin in our life. The blood of Jesus washes that away and it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe in God. As Catherine Coleman said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. I believe in heaven because he said so. I trust him. How do you know you can trust the Bible? The word says he watches over his word. That's what I would tell you. When you go into a bookstore and you see 1,000 books on what religion is, and you're like, "How? What religion should I join?" There's all these, there's Wiccan religions, there's New Age religions, there's atheist books, there's all these books. You need to trust that God watched over his word. That the Bible that you have is the Bible that he preserved for you. And there's a lot of difference between, you can't just put two Bibles side by side and go, this is the Quran and this is the Word of God. How do you know the difference? One of them makes accurate predictions that always came true. One of them makes no predictions. One of them predicted that a Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Jesus mentioned that after 3 days, the word talked about after 3 days he would rise again. The Bible talks about the first coming of Jesus. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus. The Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus. And he said, I am coming soon. So to me, there's lots of misinformation in the world. The Bible says at the end of the world, there'd be knowledge would increase. But you have to have as much sense as an old cow, as Brother Hagin would say, to eat the hay and spit out the sticks. You have to know what's good information and what's false information. And you go, how do you know that without being a scholar? It's faith in God. I trust that the word is the word. I don't know how a bird finds its way. They say they fly south for the winter. How does it know where it's going? How does it even know to start flying south? I mean, you're a bird. How do you know? How does a fish, a salmon, know how to go to the place of it? How in the world does it know that it's a fish? It's got a brain the size of a peanut. How in the world? God has put directions in their heart. They know which way north is. They know which way to go. And I believe that heaven is in our heart. I believe that when you hear a message on salvation, that it springs alive in your heart. You've got built-in Wi-Fi. You understand that, right? Yes. That you can connect to heaven and God can speak to you wirelessly. So I believe I trust in it. I also believe in heaven and hell because I believe in light and darkness. If there's light, there's got to be darkness. If there's north, there's got to be south. If there's good, there's got to be evil. If there's cold, there's got to be hot. And if there's life, there has to be death. That's just the way that God has designed things. There's always an opposite there. So the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. So let me say this. Without the cross, hell is just as real as heaven. And Pam talked about 250,000 a day, is it? 150,000 people a day. I can't even imagine dying and knowing that you're going to be rejected, knowing that Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. And to think that there's people that daily reject God because they are unable to correctly evaluate the evidence. They're unable to open up their heart to the reality of life and death because they have decided that they would rather eat the porridge, the soup, right? Trade your birthright in for a bowl of soup. I'd rather live for this life and the pleasures of this life and the temporal things than to live for eternity. Me and Pam have been called to quite a few hospital rooms, some with wonderful success as far as leading people to Christ, and some with very sad results. They asked us, me and Pam, to go to pray for this man who was dying in the hospital. But we learned to ask this question. Do they want us to come? Because sometimes you think, well, at the very end of my life, I'll get things right. The problem with allowing a hard heart in your life is that you can't soften it up in 2 minutes. Sometimes even if you knew you were bleeding to death, there may not be a time to break through your hard heart. You can't count on that. But thank God there is such a thing as people coming to God in prison, people coming to God on death row. I absolutely believe that. If I didn't believe that, we have to believe it, especially those on death row. Come on. So one time we went into a hospital room, and Pam will remember this. And it didn't go well. But think about this. This man had hours or days to live. It turned out it was, how long was it? One day. He had 1 day. I knew it was close. And imagine that you know you're lost, but you're so bitter at how life has treated you. He basically threw us out. When he heard that we were preachers, that we were there to just, we just wanted to pray with him for his salvation. We were there in the middle of an ocean with someone that was drowning to say, here's a life preserver. And he basically said, get that life preserver away from me. But let me tell you another story we had. There was a man that was kind of in a coma. I don't know if he officially was in a coma, but no one had talked to him. They thought he was dying, and that the whole family was there. So it's not normally when me and Pam go in a room, it's just usually me and Pam and maybe one or two other people. But there was like 15 people. And I mean, it was a lot of people. And the whole thing, the whole problem was this guy hadn't talked to anyone. He was basically asleep. Again, I'm not sure if it was officially a coma, but he just was out of it. He was going. And so we started praying over him. And he woke up, and he couldn't talk, but I grabbed both of his hands and just led him to the Lord. So that was awesome. That was awesome, where the family is like, he's going and no one can even talk to him. What, I think that's grace. I think that had nothing to do with me, believe me. Believe me, it has not. You never has anything to do with us. But God cares so much that he's not willing that any should perish. Isn't that what the word says? He's willing. Didn't Jesus die for the whole world? Didn't God give his only begotten son that none should perish? For God so loved the world. So there's really no exclusions, and we can't exclude it. You were created for heaven and not for hell. You were created for heaven. Believe me, you don't belong in hell. As soon as you're in hell, you're going to go, I'm not sure this is the place for me. It really isn't the place for me, and it isn't the place for you. David said, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere hand's breadth, and the span of my years as if it was nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. I wish we all had that revelation of how fast our life is going to. I'm telling you, it's going to be a matter of minutes. And yes. Pam, when we walked into Dad's hospital room when he was going, what struck me, there's a monitor that monitors heart rate and blood pressure, and it had his name on it. And the name is what got me. That was Kenneth Bonner. That's me. It's like someday there's going to be a monitor with my name on it, and I just want to be ready for it. I choose Jesus. I choose heaven, and I reject hell. I've seen the travel brochures. It just don't go there.
But I'm going to take care of you, remember? Mom's going to take care of him. You know, something interesting to me happened to, you know, Pastor Bill, my brother-in-law that passed away. He was a chaplain for Chaplains and More in Kansas City. And one of the things that they instructed their chaplains in a big group like this was, you may never mention Jesus as the only way to heaven. And that struck me as being the most ridiculous and thing that I have ever heard, because they're chaplains. What part of the definition of chaplain, religious care and overseer, do you not understand? Of course, you know Pastor Bill violated that multiple times, over and over and over, and no one said anything. But it reminded me of a story that I had heard of a man who was nearing death in a nursing home, and he called for a chaplain, for a pastor. And there were several of them that came in, and each one would say different things. Like one said, you don't have a thing to worry about. Our bodies are created to die, and it's all going to be okay. Another guy said, when you see the light, just lose yourself and go towards the light. And finally, the man, in desperation, started screaming, get me a preacher. Get me somebody that can tell me about Jesus. I am dying. I want someone real. And that's what you want. You want someone to not sugarcoat things. I want the truth. If it's not real, I don't want it. I don't want your fake fruit. I don't want your Baccarat Rouge 540, the dupe. No, I don't tell me about the dupes, Sandra. I don't want to hear about the dupes for things. I want what's real, and especially spiritually with the Word of God. And, you know, I think that sometimes people try to make it easy for people. Don't make it easy for me. I want the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's the only thing that's going to help us. And we get to choose where we spend eternity. And by the way, hell is a real thing. And we can go there by choice, but it was not created for any human whatsoever. It was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for people. But there are several different things, and you've probably heard me say this before, but one of them is regarding Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great commissioned someone, get this, this is a guy who was paid every day to come to him and tell him, Philip, Alexander, you will die. You will die. He wanted to be reminded of eternity every day. I personally believe that with eternity in mind, I can live a better life. I can make better choices. I can live a blessed life if I keep eternity in my heart and in my mind before me. And he was wise to do that. Now watch this. There's another man, Louis XIII. He made a decree. This is a law that no one could ever come in his presence and say the word death or talk about dying. What a foolish thing. This is a topic we need to talk about even to our children, not because life is like a vapor. I was 4 years old yesterday. I mean, just yesterday. It seems like it was nothing. We talk about our childhood like it happened yesterday because basically it did. In light of eternity, the time we spend here is very, very short, so short. And, you know, though Louis XIII decreed that the word death would never be mentioned in his presence, would anyone care to know what happened to him? Where is he? He's dead. He's dead. So he had to face it like we all have to face it. But here's the thing. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure and choose this day whom you will serve. Choose blessings and cursings. Choose life or death. And if I was going on a vacation, when we're going on vacation, we get all the information we can because I don't want to go somewhere, you know, where there's snakes and bugs and alligators and crazy stuff like that. So I choose my destination and I choose it with all the knowledge I can gain, right? So I get the brochures. And the Bible is your brochure to heaven. And you don't want to go somewhere where it would be uncomfortable, where it would be terrible. You want to choose the best, to get the best enjoyment out of life, and to be with the people you love. And there are so many reasons to choose heaven. But I want to tell you the best one is not the streets of gold. It is not pearly gates and stuff like that. When you see your love, Jesus, and your loved ones there, in a millisecond, it's going to be worth every, I say it like this, heaven will be worth all the hell on earth. Some of you have been through hell on earth, right? You've been through things that are like, boy, if they heard my story. I have too. You know, I found a letter the other day from my niece wrote me, Amy, when she was about 8 years old and I was in the hospital. And she told me, she said, you know, if you just turn your head, she said, I've sent 2,000 glowing angels to you. And she told me, she said, and this is the worst problem you're ever going to have in your life. Nothing bad will happen to you again, Aunt Pam. I'm like, Amy, I need to call you today because a million things have happened. Things happen in life. But heaven's going to be worth it all. It's going to cancel it all out in just a millisecond. So it will be worth it all. Whatever you're going through, just keep going. Just keep going for Jesus. Because you know what? People tell me all the time. I've had people tell me this. It's hard to be a Christian, Pastor Pam. You know what I say without missing a beat? It is. You know what's even harder? Not to live for Christ. When you've got the consequences of all your sin before you and no hope for a future whatsoever. That's what's hard in life. Not having confidence, not having assurance. When I live for God, when I tell the truth, I tell the truth. I don't have to worry about what did I tell Frieden? What did I tell Isabel? I don't have to worry about any of that because I'm making choices according to the cross. And you know what? I'm going to live a blessed life. And I will tell you that I do live a blessed life. Do I go through hell on earth? I will also tell you yes to that too. But I do it with Christ and I do it with God's people. And I find that a better way because we're on a journey. And it's like I shared the bus story. I'm going to do it real quick. The bus. You're driving a bus. I'm a pastor. We're pastors. We're driving a bus. There's people going to get on the bus. There may be fighting on the bus. We keep driving the bus. There may be people unhappy about the music on the bus. We keep driving the bus. Keep driving the bus. You know what? Because we have a destination and we are responsible for other people. You are responsible for your children and your children's children to get them to where they need to be going. And that is heaven. So let's keep eternity in our hearts.
So I heard this story about this lady that she was addicted to drugs and she would spend lots of her money on drugs. And she had a small baby and her family was concerned. They knew she was taking the drugs. And they said, we're concerned that you might give some of these awful drugs to your baby. And she said, I would never do that. She said, I only do it for myself because I know I'm not worth anything. She said, my life is a mess. She goes, but the baby still has value. For some people that you meet in heaven, or maybe it's going to be true of you yourself, depending on your past, you might actually have people walk up to you and say, you're in heaven. Wow, that's okay. Hadn't expected that. It's surprising to see you here, but welcome. I mean, Jonah felt that way, right? There's the people that belong, and then there's the people that don't belong. Let me read you about a king. And I really don't like this scripture at all. I just think that this just isn't fair. Now, when he was in great affliction, he implored the Lord his God, and he humbled himself great. No, don't do that. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his request. God heard his supplication and brought him back to God. Don't know. No. See, why are you so upset that this man got saved? Because of who he is. He is so evil. This is Manasseh who, okay, you guys know Isaiah, right? Do you know what happened to Isaiah? He got sawed in half by this guy. This guy sawed him in half. He killed him. And now he's in heaven? That's a little awkward, right? When he meets Isaiah in heaven, it's like, hey, Isaiah, how are you? I'm really sorry about, you know, sawing you in half. Just a bad day on my part. My bad. But here's the point of it. I believe that the reason that the man told us to leave the hospital room, get out of here, get out, I don't want to hear it. No one would choose pain over pleasure. No one would choose hell over heaven. But just like the woman who says, I'm not worth anything anymore, there might be that voice in your head that says, yeah, I know that people can be saved, but come on. I know my past. And you're thinking to yourself, but I've crossed that line. I've gone over that. You know that's a lie, right? You know that even if you are a murderer, Moses was a murderer. I expect to see him in heaven. Come on. How many people did David kill? David, and not just in war. He killed basically a friend to cover up a sexual affair. That's evil, David. And who's the most evil person in this place today, I wonder? I wonder if we had a sinning contest. Like if we say, we're going to have everyone talk about your past, and then we're going to vote on who's the worst. Pam says, that's not happening. The reason that she says it's not happening, and the reason you all don't want it to happen, and I'm going to tell you why. Because secretly, there are many of you in here that know you would win that. You know, if people knew your past, they would go, that's really bad. That is over the top. And that's like a lot of people in here. I'm telling you, the grace of God to forgive sins is greater than... All right, I'm sure, turning it over.
I want to tell you a story before I forget it. We were in court one time. I know Leslie's going to remember this, and it was for something in our family. And they informed Ken that in order for us to do this and carry through this, they would have to do a family home study. And I never will forget your words. Pam, we can't hold up to a family study. We just can't. We got to say no. Kill it. It's not going to happen. And that's what reminded me of what he was saying, that is so, so true. You know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, Frida and I share secrets. It's like, we can't hold up to this, Frida, if we're going to have the contest of who's the worst and who's done the most in the past. That's the power of the blood of Jesus, that he cleanses it, that it's all okay, that I can know her sins and she can know mine, and it's okay.
And the parable Jesus told, the point of his parable was that he who has been forgiven much loves much. So if you are sitting there going, oh, Pastor, I would just be ashamed to let people know my past, that just means you should love Jesus so much more. I mean, come on, if you really were on death row, if you really were the thief on the cross, knowing that you have minutes to live, but Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So salvation is available for the world. We need to get our information about heaven and hell from the Word of God. I've already said that. You'd be surprised at even the number of Bible colleges that don't actually teach about heaven and hell. And like I said before, you want to go to the experts on this, or which in this case is the Word of God, instead of, I saw this thing on the internet. By the way, you all know how the internet works. I'm just going to throw this away for 30 seconds. Whatever you search for is the things you're going to be getting. So if you go, man, this is the truth I know because I see it on the internet, it's because that's what you search for. Those algorithms are matching you. right? I mean, don't dare do a search for baby cribs, because for the next 6 weeks, everything is going to be popping up on your feed is about baby formula and do you need diapers and, you know, Amazon, they're going to push that towards you. So if you start exploring stuff that's not the Word of God, you're going to go, everyone has to know this because there's thousands of internet articles. You are being targeted because of your search history. You say, how do you know that? Start searching for Christian things and the Word, and you're going to start getting that in your search history, which is great. Brother Gil was just so innocent in his ways. You know, I mean, he wasn't on social media at all. And, you know, he hardly ever did email or anything like that. And he came to me one day and he said, oh, Pastor Ken, I am so worried. He goes, I got this email. I have no idea where it came from. He goes, I didn't do anything. And I was laughing because I said, Brother Gil, everyone else but you, we get emails that are horrible and awful and they're spam. You know, you've just been shielded. He didn't realize that, which I thought that was a nice innocence to not realize all of the spam that's out there and all the insanity that is out there. But the truth is more amazing than anything anyone could imagine. Okay, listen to this. Listen. So you know there's a new heaven and a new earth, right? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. We know that there's a new Jerusalem that's going to come down from heaven. So when you look at the King James, it gives it in cubits or whatever, so it doesn't make any sense. But we know what the cubits were, so we know how to translate that. So this is reality. And this, if you haven't, even if you have heard this, it'll blow you away. But if you haven't heard it, it'll blow you away. So the reality of the new heaven and the new earth is this. The new Jerusalem is a square, right? It's a perfect cube, which means it's the same height, it's the same width, it's the same length. So how long, so we got this giant, giant square. How many miles, we know this, by the way. We know how many miles it is long, how many miles it is wide, and how many miles it is high. Now, we're not talking about feet here. We're talking about miles. It is 1,400 miles in every direction. 1,400, which means if you started driving, you would drive all the way past Texas to just drive along one side of it, from here to Texas. But that would be a one-floor building. This thing goes up into outer space 1,400 miles. So when you're in heaven, there's actually two locations you can be at. You can be in the New Jerusalem, which, again, there's so much room in it. There's the museums are in there. You can go watch videos of the Red Sea being open. There's classrooms. We're going to learn. But you can also travel to the new earth, and where you could go to the Salt Sea. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and the Salt Sea is going to be teeming with life. So we're going to have the best of earth, which Randy Alcorn said in his book about heaven, which is probably the best I've ever read. He said that if you think that heaven would be so foreign to you, which it may be, the New Jerusalem, when we see the streets of gold, when we see the glory of God, when we see the shaking, when we just experience it, it's going to be above and beyond what our mind can comprehend. But we're human beings. We like to feel the nice warm breeze. We like to see see a beautiful sunset. And we are used to green. We are used to blue. We are used to beauty. We hate the crime in the world. But that's what the new earth is all about. You're never going to get mugged again. No one's going to ask you for your wallet. You're going to know people, and they're going to know you. So even though you think about getting a new body, it's really a recreated body. But your body, see, Jesus didn't get a new body, right? Jesus was resurrected. He still has the scars, not a new body, the old body. Inside of your DNA, locked away where our scientists can't see it, is the code for resurrection. you're going to be known as you are known. When you see me in heaven, I'm going to look a little better. I'm going to be glowing a little bit more, but I'm still going to be Ken. You're going to go that. You're going to know who I am, which is cool that we're going to know people in heaven. We're going to have friends. We're going to have tens of thousands of friends that we're going to meet. There's nothing bad about heaven. If you had to list everything bad about heaven, there is nothing bad about it. It is all positive. But we have to RSVP. We have to accept that invitation.
We're going to close. We're just excited about this because I feel like we should have heaven in our hearts. The only thing I want to say closing is this. I feel like this is the Holy Spirit. Remember I said that if you were ever going anywhere, you know, if you're going to heaven and you're going to prepare for your last days, you leave instructions. So I was sitting here thinking, if I was, let's stand, we're going to pray. Yes, we're going to do that. If I was never going to see you again, which is a possibility for any of us, the instructions I would give you are always, always, always serve Jesus. Never quit driving the bus. Keep going forward. Don't look back. The good, bad, the ugly, it's in the past. It's all in the past. Keep serving God. Keep loving one another. Keep forgiving one another. Plan on heaven, because what I told my son-in-laws when they lost their dad unexpectedly, my two grandsons, you know the story, woke up one morning and their dad had had a heart attack in the night at 43 years old. And what I told my boys was this: do you ever want to see your father again? And they answered yes. And I said, then you're going to need to love Jesus. You're going to need to serve Jesus, because he did. And his last words were, if anything ever happens to me, he said them that day driving from Texas, I'm going to be with Jesus. Having no idea, said him to his mother, having no idea he was going to die that night, and he died that night. And I am so comforted by that. So I want to tell you that if anything ever happens to me, plan on seeing me, because I'm going to be up there with Jesus. That's my instruction for you. Study God's word. Pray. Read God's word. Let's pray a prayer today. Lord, I receive you as Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I accept you in my heart. You've done nothing but good for me, Father God, and you've saved me from bad things. I faced a lot of terrible things in my life, but Father, you were always working behind the scenes, and so many things never happened that could have happened. So I thank you, Jesus, that you've been good to me, that you are good to me, Father. And someday when I go home, I'm going to see my dad, and Barney, we're going to see Patsy again. We're going to see them all again. We're going to see Hartford again. All the people I ever did funerals for, I'm going to see those people again. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, and we're going to live our life with eternity in mind always, in Jesus' name. Let's just take one time, a minute to worship while Pastor Ken prays, and then you're dismissed.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.